Joined now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, OTA's wrapping up today. Team will go to minicamp next week, and then that'll be it for the offseason. How do you feel about the progress that you've seen from the first OTA practice you watched through today's practice?
Well, I will go in the person of Brandon Whedon, and Whedon looks much better and much different than he did a couple of weeks ago when we started this process of coming in once a week and visiting the Browns on a Thursday afternoon, because a couple of weeks ago, Brandon was really hiccuping a lot, and the ball was on the ground as much as it was in a receiver's hands. And I looked at him today, and he had a lot of bounce. He had a lot of rhythm, and I think that then translates into confidence, and I think knowledge, a little bit more knowledge every week of the offense. And I think the coaching that he is getting, or all the quarterbacks are getting, but him specifically, if we focus in on him, I think is really something to see and hear.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
It's because we're very, hearing it out it's there
vocal,
a lot. Yeah,
very vocal. Yeah. North Turner definitely being heard. But you know, to your point about the early hiccups and some struggles, and then looking smoother, sharper
much
as it's
better.
Gone along. I think, too, and Rob Chudzinski touched on this, I think, too, that's a result of the installation process. They're getting a lot thrown at
right.
them, all,
yeah.
all of them. But I think it's especially tough on the quarterbacks. They're getting force-fed a lot of new offense, and I think it's understandable that it takes some time to digest.
Yeah, and I just can't I don't know if I can put into words accurately how much better Whedon looks, and so the installation, I think, is going smoothly. Now the goal, and Brandon touched on this after practice today, now the goal is to be ready for July and hit the ground running. I don't think they want to be, you know, taking any steps back and going, hey, listen, all right, let's stop. We don't have this. Let's start this all over again, because I think they realize they have a lot of work in front of them, and I think that they feel they've gotten a lot done, but they want to hit the ground running everything going forward once they get the pads on in July, because after all, this is flag football. Joe Hayden
yeah.
called it flag football today, and he's not far wrong from that. And I think that's what that's the goal. I think they're on the way to achieving that.
You say July for training camp. It felt like a July day.
It did, yes.
They're out there,
yeah.
which I think is a good thing. And even though they don't have the weight of pads on that would add to the discomfort, if you will, of being under these conditions, I think it's good that they're under these conditions, and I think they're a better conditioned football team. I don't see a lot of guys dragging out there, because I think for the most part, the conditioning work that Brad Roll has done is showing up on the field. There's a heavy emphasis on cardiovascular, a lot of stressing of running, and I think these guys are starting to see the benefits of that on a day like today.
Yeah, definitely. Really muggy out there today, a training camp day. I said to somebody on the media sidelines there, this was like a two-practice day, and you're in the middle of that 2:30 start of the second session. I mean, real thick humidity
yeah.
out there today. And you're right, they're really moving up and down the field on both sides of the ball. That's good to see. And it's also good to see not a populated group of Browns players on the sidelines with a lot of nagging injuries, so that you know really hammers home your point about the conditioning. And that's good, because that probably, it happens in every NFL camp, is going to happen in this camp too, but you just want to minimize it as much as possible, because when you start losing time, I think that comes back and it really haunts you once you start preseason games.
And since you brought up the topic of injuries, the more notable one out there, the most notable, is Trent Richardson,
yeah.
Not out with that calf strain that bothered him last week. Rob Chudzinski saying not sure exactly of what his availability will be for minicamp next week. They're going to make a determination, I guess, early in the week. I don't mind not seeing him running around now. The concern I have, though, is that this is a problem
right.
now, right?
Bingo.
And then you wonder, okay, is it something that is just going to be for now and go away? Is it going to linger? Because this is a guy that I do want to see, especially through training camp, have a full camp on his hand. He didn't have that last year with the knee surgery.
No, didn't have anything at all. You're right. And I'm hearing that, Vic, from Browns fans who come up to me during the week after the OTAs, and people hear that he's not practicing again, and there's some concern there, I think, by Browns fans. And
FedEx guy, too?
Yeah, FedEx guy coming up, UPS guys coming up, and saying, hey, listen, you know, is he okay, or is this the way this is going to be with him? Is he going to be a player that struggles to get through practice? And I hope it isn't, because, again, Whedon touched on that today, that, hey, listen, we need 33 on the field. But the only good thing about this right now, if there is a good thing, is that we're not at a point where we're really hitting the running game at all. I mean, they're not in pads, and, you know, we're not seeing them hand the ball off, and there's no tackling or hitting. I mean, we're seeing running backs get out in the flat, make catches, get out, you know, and make catches down the field, but we're not really – you know, there's nothing physical about it. But, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, that was the concern last year, and I think we saw Trent get off to a slow start once the regular season started, and it was understandable because he didn't work out at all during the training camp because of the knee problem. So I hope it's not a problem. I mean, we really do.
Yeah, I think that's the concern, is that is it going to be an issue? Other than that, I'm good with limiting the amount of work he gets overall, because he's going to be a very active guy, obviously, during the course of the season. If there's good news to this, seeing for this coaching staff, seeing what Montario Hardesty is all about, these guys, this group, seeing to know him a little bit better, Chris Obanaya, which I think there's some basic faith there that he can do what he can do. They bring aboard Brandon Jackson, and then you get a Deion Lewis in the mix.
I tell you what, I really enjoyed watching Lewis
today.
He's
impressive.
Yeah, he really does. He can cut an edge and get an angle on somebody and then use his speed. You know, the thing about Hardesty is, for the first couple of years when he came in here, he was kind of like Richardson. I mean, he was always, you know, he was hurt. He had a knee problem right away when he came out of Tennessee. He had injuries before that at Tennessee. So he was very limited, and we always waited for him. And then, of course, we had that awful night in his rookie year in the last preseason game when they wanted him to finally get in there, and he suffered an ACL injury, and he lost that entire year. But in the last couple of years now, you know, because they have really taken care of Richardson because of his injuries, Hardesty has had a double workload to get ready. So you're right. We are really finding out if he is going to fit on this team finally because of the workload he's getting. And he's very visible out there. It's a, you know, we said last year was a big camp, and it's even a bigger camp for him this year as we approach it.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We talked about the vocal coaching, and especially North Turner, who was heard out there on the field today, chastising and correcting and doing what he has to do. And it seems to be a contrast in style. Rob Chudzinski, much more of that CEO overseer, right? He seems more comfortable in that. And Norv gets right into it. I guess that's really how it should be. The coordinator is more the nitty-gritty, and the head coach should be more the overseer.
Yeah, because I can remember when Rob came in here and was the offensive coordinator, you know, he was pretty vocal as he was installing his offense with the likes of Charlie Fry and Derek Anderson and Winslow and Braylon Edwards and the like. So it is a role reversal. It's funny because I was talking to Joe Hayden after practice today, and he said that Norv Turner even warns the defensive backs as they're coming out onto the practice field, hey, listen, we're going after you today. He went up to young McFadden, the rookie out of San Diego State, and said, hey, Leon, we're coming after you today. Got a couple of double moves that we've put in, and we're gonna see what you got. So, boy, I'll tell you what, you know, that's great. That's terrific. I think the more you do that, the better prepared they're going to be. We talked about this last week, how maybe the Browns defense will the Browns offense will be better prepared seeing this 3-4 defense of Ray Horton day in and day out for their opponents once they get on the field against the opposition.
No, I think it's a good thing, and I think it's especially good for a Joe Hayden, where you look at him as the best cornerback the Browns have, so opponents look at him that way each game, and therefore often stay away from him and attack the other side, whoever that is, Sheldon Brown or Buster Screen or whoever it might be. And I think for him to get that kind of work in this camp is good for Joe, to keep Joe sharp.
Yeah, Joe said a very mature thing this afternoon after practice to me, and he said, I think I blew a chance to be an elite defensive back in the NFL and recognized as such last year when he took the 4-game suspension. Now, he missed another game because of injury, but he missed 4 games because of a mistake in judgment, and it hurt the team, but it really hurt him, because I thought last year he was ready to be recognized as a great young elite corner in the NFL, but it was an incomplete because of the missed time. So I think he said, listen, I think this is the year. It's got to be the year, because it was a blown opportunity by me, and it was on me, and it happened last year. That's good.
Yeah, and I think he looks at this defense, Jim, too, as an opportunity that will give him more chances to be around the ball. I think that whole zone coverage concept works for him. The man-to-man thing in Dick Geron's 4-3, while he handled it, wasn't really a defense that he felt that he loved because it didn't give him a chance to build up numbers.
Yeah, and I love when the play goes to him. So, I'm comfortable anytime as we watch the Browns defense play that, you know, you teams are going to have to go towards Joe Haden. I think that at sometimes can be at least an equalizer, if not an advantage for the Browns defense, because I think he's that good.
Jim Brown is back in the Browns organization,
right.
Jim. They announced it yesterday, and the role of special advisor is the title. Sounds like he'll be involved with players quite a bit. It seems the area of his comfort zone, communicating with players and being that maybe whatever it is. I don't know if the word is liaison, but certainly someone who is a presence.
Yeah, it's Jim Brown.
It's Jim Brown. How big of a thing is that?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I think people like seeing him around. I think he represents, you know, the greatest. I mean, you know, and when you define football players, certainly running back, you know, this guy's got a mystique about him that it's just there. There's an aura about having Jim Brown. I think Browns fans are comfortable, you know, when he's around and seeing him because he's just got a presence, even at age 77. We were playing the tape back at the television station last night, and we were going to pick out a snippet of what we were going to play on the news. And as he was talking, I mean, I was under the desk. You know, I mean, he...
Yeah, he still brings
that. And let
that
me tell you, Vic, there's a lot under my desk for me to squeeze under there because of what Jim Brown was saying. Says to me that if I'm a young player and Jim Brown comes up to me and puts that big arm around me and says, hey, listen, this is the way you should do it, I'm going to listen.
Yeah, the fact that it's 50-plus years between him and most of the guys in that locker room isn't a factor. I think you listen when a guy like that talks. And don't you think, too, that these guys understand what he's about? I mean, they don't need a long, hard history lesson
they don't need to go to Wikipedia about him. I mean, I think that, you know, to even the youngest player coming into the NFL right now, they still understand what Jim Brown did and who he is and how he should be regarded. I think it's an instant – it's funny when you see a young player meet him. Because it's almost like they melt a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that cockiness goes away from them. The cell phone is put away.
You're right.
You listen to Jim Brown.
No texting, listening.
And the simplest answer is, why do you listen to him? Well, because he's Jim Brown. That's why.
Yeah. And I think kudos to the organization for recognizing a chance to kind of right or wrong, because that's really what this was. How it got that way, hey, it takes two to get there. So you could say maybe Jim Brown was as culpable for some of how he handled things as was the organization. But the bottom line is the organization did not look good for two plus years to have the most iconic player in their history on the outside.
Yeah, it was a disconnect that needed to be connected again. Yeah. You're right. And it has been righted. And I think he's happy about it. And I know the Browns are, too. And I think the fans are.
All right, Jim, thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Vic.
We'll hook up again next week. He is Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns. He joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.